and state media concepts social media podcast. Time to hashtag everything. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast.
It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on.
Hello, and welcome to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey. And if you've at all been paying attention to the news in the past week or so, you probably couldn't even escape from hearing about the meeting between Trump and Kim Jong-un of North Korea. And we're not going to go into that whole thing because politics and No, with politics, not going to happen. I live in California, and we just had our primary election, and I'm just like, can we be done with politics? Can we just not mention the word politics until November? Because, seriously, we have this, and then we have to come back to this, and it's just like, why can't we just have the one election? But that's a whole nother topic. However, this did happen, and this was, of course, big news. And so ABC, which was showing The Bachelorette, decided, yes, this is big news. People will want to see about it. We have to tell our watchers about it. So they interrupted The Bachelorette to show the first meeting with the handshake. And fans of The Bachelorette were not amused or impressed or at all really into that. They were very upset, especially on Twitter, to the point that even the host of The Bachelor, I think he's the host. I do not watch almost TV at all, and especially reality TV shows like The Bachelorette, I don't watch them at all. I have several family members who watch like every season and so could totally tell me what's going on. But I don't watch it, so I couldn't even tell you who the actual Bachelorette is right now. And I only know it's The Bachelorette and not The Bachelor because I kept seeing this all. But anyways, fans were very upset, mostly because it's like, we now interrupt the show you totally like binge watch every week. Well, I guess you can't binge watch every week, but the show you totally like tune into every week to bring you a handshake between two world leaders. It's like, okay. That would have been my response if I was a fan. It was just like, no. What? Why? Okay. Move on. Let's go. Some Bachelor fans were a bit more extreme. There was responses on Twitter like, does ABC think we care more about the North Korea summit than we do about Becca finding love? Which I guess if you are a major fan of the show, yeah, no, your priorities would be exactly there. We do not care about something happening anywhere else other than The Bachelorette. But then there were other things that was like, I used to think America was a free country until they interrupted The Bachelorette for an effing handshake. And that person did actually use the word, not effing like I said. And I'm just like, trying not to do politics, but that's a little extreme. That's a bit of a jump for, fine, I get your show was interrupted. And I actually really hate that when that happens. I don't think I've seen it too many times of like breaking news, because I didn't even know they really did that too much beyond just like a banner, which I think ABC probably could have done, was just like a banner. And can't you in the 21st century now, as the broadcast company, just put on like a, I don't know, picture in picture or something to show the handshake and be like, if you want to tune in, go to abc.com or something? Because that was another thing that people were really upset about, was like, this is, 2018. There are numerous 24-hour news channels that will totally be covering this. You do not need to interrupt my favorite show, not mine, but like the fan's favorite show, to show me the thing I could very quickly change the channel to watch. Like, there are numerous channels that are just going to be showing that one clip like 100 times by tomorrow. If I want to see it, I can definitely see it. If you want to tell me that it's happening right now, just like scroll it. You don't need to interrupt my show. And thankfully, AT&T, it wasn't in the old days. And again, we've progressed technology-wise to where it wasn't like the programming keeps running, but we interrupt while the programming's still going on where you can't see it to bring you this thing. They evidently paused the show and the host did put that on Twitter of relax. You're not missing anything. We've paused it and we will come back to basically where we left off. But fans were still very, very upset about that. Someone said that ABC interrupting The Bachelorette for live coverage of the Trump-Kim summit is really an immaculate metaphor for life in these dark times. Again, a little extreme, but maybe again, I'm not, just because I'm not a fan of The Bachelorette reality shows, I'm trying to think of something I would have been that upset about if you had interrupted to bring me not even like, you know, major development from the summit of, oh, are the two countries have banded together and are going to, I don't know, do some world politics changing thing of, yes, you met. We all kind of knew you were going to, even though the summit was called off and then put back on. Since it was still going on, we kind of figured, yes, at one point the two of you would meet. Do we really need to interrupt TV for this? Whatever. But then I did love the host even made a joke himself of like, if the summit goes well, they can forego their individual countries and go straight to the fantasy country. I only vaguely get that joke because, again, don't watch the show, but have seen enough either clips and or like parody spoof clips to kind of get that that's a thing, option, something that happens at times on the show. And I'm just like, well done. Well done, sir. I think you're actually handling this quite well, considering how upset fans are that you can make that joke still tying into your show. Well done. But along with the very upsetting, I guess, news of interrupting The Bachelorette is the really strange and yet actually evidently sort of par for the course news, which is that Kim Jong-un brought his own toilet to the summit. Yes, a toilet. And he evidently did this previously also when he went to China. But that is that is because he didn't want professional sewer divers to gain access to his stools. To which my first response is, wait, there are professional sewer divers? Like, this feels like an episode of Dirty Jobs, the like international edition. There are people who like go into the sewers to try and gain like political leaders' poop. Why? And this is evidently someone was saying that this is somewhat regular, not the whole bringing your own toilet thing, but taking sort of, I don't know what you would call it, precautionary measures for, you know, world and political leaders when they travel to foreign countries so that non-authorized people cannot access their stools. Because I guess you can sort of tell things. I mean, I know you can tell things about a person's health from their stools. And so that's the sort of thought process that these are political world leaders. And if they can tell things about their health, something potentially horrible might happen. So we have to make sure that they can't. And by doing something, I'm not quite sure, but most people don't bring their own toilets. Kim Jong-un went that further step. But my thought is, how would they even know exactly? And now it's getting into all sorts of gross details of thinking about like diving into sewers. But presumably, you know, these people are in a hotel or a building. It's like not like one place with one toilet. So how, by going into the sewers, you're going to be like, aha, that's that person's poop. Oh, man. This is such a strange and kind of gross topic to think about. It was a funny, like, sort of announcement title headline, what have you. It's like, oh yes, Kim Jong-un brought his own toilet. But then when you stop and think about the fact that this is actually somewhat of a legitimate security concern, not just for Kim Jong-un, but for pretty much all world leaders, it's just like, ill and what and why and ill. So we're going to take a short break so I can get over that gross feeling, and we'll be back.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. So Elon Musk, I'm pretty sure he must be a billionaire, who, amongst other things, you know, owns Tesla and SpaceX and is trying to go to Mars or what have you, also owns a company called Boring Company. I believe it's pronounced boring. It looks like boring, and I had a hard time seeing that. I'm like, is that name on purpose? The Boring Company that has produced $500 flamethrowers. But for legal reasons, the product's name is actually not a flamethrower, with hyphens, not hyphen a hyphen flamethrower. To which the whole point of that is because if it was a flamethrower, they couldn't, I believe, ship it or something. There's like legal precautions, what have you, from keeping you from shipping flamethrowers, which, yes, thank you, that makes perfect sense. But on the other hand, just naming something not a flamethrower does not make it actually not a flamethrower. That's not how that works. That's like if you put a sign above, you know, the prison that said not a prison, that doesn't make it better to be there. It's still a prison. Just saying it's not a thing doesn't make it not a thing. However, these things, not a flamethrowers, available now for $500. And they had this sort of pickup party, they called it, to give away the first, I believe, 1,000, in which people were handed these things that really do look like they should only be in an action film of some kind, and were invited and or required. I assume you could probably pick it up without taking the picture, but if you're there to pick up a flamethrower, you might as well use it anyways. So people were able to throw flames. What even is the verb of that? To flamethrow, I'm just going to go with that, flames at a marshmallow. Because that's, of course, what you need a $500 flamethrower for, is to roast a marshmallow. That is the only way to get the perfect s'more. I'm being facetious, and I don't even like s'more, so I wouldn't know what the perfect s'more is anyway. But now that people have access to these things, they have, of course, taken to, as you would just basically have been able to predict if you give people flamethrowers, to flamethrowing, throwing flames, what have you, at not necessarily the best and or smartest things. People have posted videos showing themselves. Someone used it to, like, grill. It's not on a grill, so I don't quite know what you'd call it. To flamethrow a steak, to use it to make creme brulee, which was actually really great, because on their website, the company had posted a couple of things about, like, their legal terms and conditions about using this thing because of, again, being a flamethrower and all the legal things of that, agreeing not to, you know, use it in a dangerous manner. But they also sort of put it in a Dr. Seuss sort of rhyming way. So they were like, I will not use this in a house. I will not point this at my spouse. I will not use this in an unsafe way. The best use is creme brulee. Sure. That's an interesting way to sort of set up the rules of not a flamethrower. But people took them up on that challenge. It was like, the best use is creme brulee. Yes, we'll do that with this big gum that throws out flame. Again, the thought of an actual flamethrower is not impossible in my mind. I just kind of figured the physics totally could be there. The thought that a company would actually make these to sell to the public is almost unfathomable. I can't really think of, I'm certain you could make a lot of money for it because people would be like, yes, must have a flamethrower. But also the legal ramifications of that, that just seems really not the best idea. And a lot of people were immediately tweeting about this of like, there's no reason on earth why anyone would actually need a flamethrower. You know, how long do you think it'll be before the first legal court or and or injury and or death case? And I'm just like, yeah. And the fact that in your little rhyming hint of what our legal requirements are, you're like, I will not point this at my spouse. Don't point it at anybody. This is partly why people shouldn't have flamethrowers. It's shaped a bit like a gun. You can point it at things and then I'm foreseeing so many problems with this that, yeah, I don't know that this was the best idea at all. But I did love I didn't love the actual pickup party pictures just because everyone looked kind of way too happy to have a thing that was throwing out flames at a tiny little marshmallow. I'm like, you all look dangerously happy about this thing you have in your hands. But the pictures that people posted later, once they got them home and like they kind of created messes and or started to create semi-dangerous situations, again, as you would expect, were sometimes sort of, well, duh, and sometimes sort of, and now it begins, and, And just, again, some people's responses about the, what even, legal ramification, like, I do want to know, and I did not go through and read the total terms and conditions, just because the Dr. Seuss rhyming thing, I was like, can that even stand up? Like, is that considered a sufficient warning? I'm going to assume not, which is why you have the actual like legalese one also. But just why did you decide to do that in a Dr. Seuss manner? Because now I'm just thinking of like people who would normally be reading Dr. Seuss books, having guns that throw flames and the all sorts of chaos that would ensue from that. Enter possible dark comedy here. Like, this feels almost, it definitely feels like a movie. And in my head, flamethrowers should only be in movies like The Terminator. I don't even remember if there was a flamethrower in The Terminator, and I've only seen the first three Terminator films, but it feels very fitting for something like that in a sort of post-apocalyptic and or the robots have come to kill us scenario. I mean, if the robots have come to kill us, I already don't want them to have flamethrowers, but it feels very fitting in that sort of like dark scenario action film sort of way. Of course, there's a thing that throws flames. Of course there is. How could you be in this situation without that happening? That makes perfect sense. Real average person in suburbia with a flamethrower? Not so much. I don't know even that, again, you're allowed to have flamethrowers, but you're not allowed to legally ship them. Okay. Yeah, our legal system is interesting and possibly funny, depending on how you look at it, and a totally different topic. But just, with that. And I also love, you know, people were talking about how much, if something goes wrong, is Elon Musk sort of, you know, liable for, since this is, everything's tied to his name because he's sort of the face of it, if you would. And so it's like, yes, Elon Musk, even though, you know, there's a bunch of other different people in the same way, you know, when Facebook had their whole thing, it's, oh, we've got to talk to Mark Zuckerberg, even though it's like, this is Facebook. This is a multi-billion-dollar company. There are a lot of employees who could answer these questions, but no, it's got to be Zuckerberg on Congress. It's got to be Musk about the not a flamethrowers. Yeah, just, okay. So if anything goes wrong, we're just going to say it's him. But I love someone's response where they were like, one good way to test whether a public figure is sincere about climate action is whether they sell flamethrowers to private citizens during California's fire season. And I'm just like, good, excellent point. That was not even immediately my thought process at all. Because my first thought is, these are dangerous at any time of the year. Anywhere. really seems like a bad idea, but also, yes, it's California's fire season. I mean, I live in California. Summer is always fire season. Every summer, there's some huge fire somewhere in California. Every summer, I think, in pretty much all my life, certainly for every summer I can remember, some huge fire somewhere. And even though this happens every year, and therefore people should, you know, be aware of, hey, this is a dangerous situation, and don't start a fire out here and what have you, keeps happening every year. Some of those are on purpose, a lot of them aren't. But it's just like, yeah, so that's already a huge problem without things that throw flames, and now we have random people who have things that throw flames. Okay. Yeah, so Cal Fire is going to have a busy coming few fire seasons, theoretically. Great. Well done. So, on that super bright note, we're going to take another short break. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. Continuing the, this wasn't even a planned theme, but the theme of, what were you thinking? This story has emerged where a clarinetist, is that the term? I don't know. I don't play instrument at all, but I definitely don't play clarinet. So I'm not sure. I apologize, music lovers and clarinet people, if I, you know, whatever that term is that I don't know it, I apologize. But a very good person who happens to play the clarinet got into a really good music school or music program, but did not know it, and actually thought the school turned him down. And it turns out, well, no, actually, that was his ex-girlfriend who pretended to be both him and the school, depending on who she was responding to make it seem like he did not get into the school of his choice so that he would not break up with her. What? Just, this is like terrible, crazy girlfriend behavior 101. Just, what? So it turns out this gentleman, whose last name, Abramovitz, I apologize if I got that wrong, he applied to this program to study under, also probably going to butcher this name, Yehuda Gilad, and got in. But at the time, he was sharing an apartment or something with his girlfriend, and she had the password to his computer and email, I guess. And she was afraid if he got into this program down in California, and they're both Canadian, I believe, that he would break off the relationship with her to go to this program. So she accessed his email, saw that he got in, sent an email back to the program, declining the offer, saying he would be elsewhere, then created a fake email address, pretending to be Yehuda Gilad, saying to her boyfriend that he had not got in, but then offering him a position at a different place with a really high price tag that she knew he couldn't afford so that he wouldn't go. And he ended up not going because he, of course, thought he didn't get in. And the school's like, well, he doesn't want to come here, even though this was like a really hard program. I think it was something like only two people a year, or two clarinet players anyways, get invited to this program. And he was one of them. And according to the school, turned him down. But he later met Gilad and was studying under him. And Gilad at one point asked, why did you reject me? And the clarinet player was like, why did you reject me? What are you talking about? And just sort of thought about it for a while, but didn't really go into it. And then later, Gilad showed him the email where he supposedly rejected the offer. And he was like, I've never seen that in my life. But did not at the time realize it was from his by now ex-girlfriend. He thought it was maybe another clarinet player trying to, like, he used the term that I can't remember now, but basically trying to sabotage him. Because, I mean, I know professional music world can be very intense in competition, but just the idea of that is almost like this is a movie script almost, and I need to have rival clarinet players sneaking into each other's emails to sabotage. Wow, that is such an interesting idea. And the fact that that was his first assumption when he saw this email that wasn't from him. What is going on in the world of professional clarinet playing? I need to know about this. But anyways, so he eventually does sort of go sleuthing and figures out that, oh, this email is from the girlfriend I was dating at the time. She knew my password. He does it by going to the email that she set up pretending to be the teacher that rejected him. And she knew his passwords and he knew hers. And he just puts in one of her passwords that he knew she used at the time. And it happened to work and he can access the email. So he figures out, oh, that was her. And it's like, oh my gosh. And she evidently did this for more than one place. He also got into Juilliard. And she did this as well, sending fake emails, causing him to decline. It's just like, wow, that is, oh my gosh, are you kidding? Because beyond just even, no, that's beyond okay behavior for the person you're dating. This is essentially, this is his career you're messing with here. This is his life. This was a one in a lifetime chance. Only two people get accepted to study with this really famous person, and you're gonna mess that up so that he won't potentially break up with you? Just what? So once he figured this out, he sued, which, I mean, yes, because this is, you know, the school that you would go to for the thing you do professionally, so it's affecting your career. He sued for $300,000 in general damages, including loss of reputation, loss of educational opportunity, and loss of 2 years of income potential. And this all took place in Ontario court because that's where the girlfriend, Miss Lee, lives. The Ontario Superior Court judge ruled in his favor, and not only ruled in his favor, but added an extra $50,000 to his award judgment. I'm not quite actually sure what you've called it. I have never sued anyone against Miss Lee for her despicable interference in Mr. Abramovitz's career, which, yes, I mean, this is his whole career. You're messing up his whole life. You could have, like, and they ended up breaking up anyways later for some unrelated reason. It wasn't really revealed as I was looking this up. So even then, that plan did not work out in her favor. But it's just like, even if you really want to stay with this person, do you really want to stay with this person knowing that you've almost essentially ruined their life and or crushed their dreams? Like, I never quite understood that thought process that people do of, oh, I've got to lie to the person I'm in a relationship with so they won't leave me. I'm like, yeah, but won't you, even if they never find out, won't you feel terribly, terribly guilty about that? Because I totally would, knowing they really, really wanted this thing. And if this is the person I love, shouldn't I also want this thing for them? But instead, I totally trashed that, you know, tore up their hopes because reasons. My reasons. My reasons are better than your hopes and dreams. I don't know. I don't get it. So he did win this award judgment. Again, I have never sued anybody. I apologize. Of $350,000. It's not clear whether or not he'll ever get it because it's not clear that she has that amount of money. But it is nice to hear that, you know, he did get some sort of recompense for this really terrible situation and did end up studying with Gilad anyways. So he can hopefully come back from this, and she and others who would be like her would never do such things again, even though, of course, someone later will do something terrible like this again. But just that, you know, there is sort of justice being served, almost, as you will. So a somewhat nice ending to a, oh my gosh, ridiculous story. And on that note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.